24, Luke chapter number 24. The music's been wonderful tonight. Did you enjoy that Faith Baptist Church orchestra? Wasn't that nice? It was the first time that they played an offertory together. So I know they were practicing those Mondays during the summertime. So it was a blessing to hear them. Luke chapter number 24 tonight. As we've been going in the month of September on Sunday nights, we've been talking about outreach, talking about being a soul winner, talking about having a testimony. And we're going to continue on that tonight and just a few more weeks of this. But tonight's story, or the message, would be each Christian has a powerful story to tell. Each Christian has a powerful story to tell. It's going to be a little bit of a different message, but hopefully it will. My goal is to inspire you to learn and understand your testimony and be able to express it to someone else, to a point where you can encourage others to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. One of the most powerful weapons you have as a Christian is your own personal testimony. What you have experienced, you are a witness of. What you have gone through and what Jesus Christ has done in your life is something that you can tell the world about, something that no one else can tell the way that you can tell. And tonight I'd like to, I guess, maybe give us some thoughts there. I'd like to ask you a question right off the bat is, when's the last time you told somebody your testimony? Now, for some of us, that will be maybe just yesterday or within the last week or so. But for many of us, it might be something that it's been a while. And maybe even for some of us, it might be something we've never expressed to somebody else. And I'm here to tell you that one of the greatest ways you can be a witness is to tell somebody what you've experienced. That's what a witness is, isn't it? You've seen something, you've been a part of something, and as you've seen and been a part of something, you take and you express the things that you've learned. And that's what being a witness is not just talking about what God did in the Bible, but what God did in your life too. It's a powerful story, powerful testimony. I tell you, you can leave somebody wanting to have the desire to know Christ because of hearing your personal testimony. Once again, the only way you get saved is by understanding that you're a sinner, and you see your need as a sinner, and putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins and crying out to God. I get that and I understand that, but your testimony can be very, very powerful. And tonight we're going to look at a couple different testimonies. I'm going to tell one in kind of a story form. I'm going to tell also one in looking at just what the Bible says in Acts when we look at the Apostle Paul. But before we go to those, I want us to look here in Luke chapter number 24. Luke chapter number 24 here tonight. Let's look here and start off in verse number 44. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. This is near the end. This is when he's getting ready to give them the great commission. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." So you got this understanding. Jesus is talking to the disciples, probably in the upper room at this moment in time, and he's telling them, look, everything that went through, he says, these are the things I told you beforehand. Verse 45, it's a wonderful verse, helps you understand some things. Then open he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. You know what? The Holy Spirit of God is the great teaching power of explaining to us the Word of God. We need the Holy Spirit's help. When we get into the Bible and we want to learn, we need to be right with God, and we need to make sure that we're depending on the Holy Spirit to teach us what the Bible says. You go through the story and you hear the stories, and Jesus says, look, I'm going to go, I'm going to die, I'm going to raise again. And we says, how in the world did the disciples miss that? How weren't they all sitting at the tomb waiting that third day, you know, telling the world, come, look, this day he's not going to be there. Why weren't they all there throwing a party or a celebration that Jesus had risen from the dead? They had missed it. Their minds was closed to it in some form or way. And here in verse number 45, it says that Jesus opened their understanding. And many times, this is what we need to get and understand is, teach us the Bible. We need to go and we need to learn and be students of the Word of God. And we need to ask him to open our understanding when it comes to the Word of God. And that's what happens here in verse number 46. And he said unto him, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Now, so he's saying to him, look, this is what had to happen. Verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So you see this as part of the Great Commission that was given. It's given in five different parts. It makes one complete whole. But he's saying, look, that what needs to be preached is repentance and remission of sins. It's people understanding that they're sinners. They need to repent of their sins and how they can get remission of their sins. You see this, and where does it start? It starts in Jerusalem. Verse number 48, and it says, and ye are witnesses of these things. He's saying, I want you to go out and tell the people that begin in Jerusalem, and then he's going to spread them out to all throughout the world. Because I want you to tell them the thing that you know of, that you're aware of. And they're talking about their own faith and the things that they were experienced, how they saw him die, and how they saw him raise from, well, they didn't see him raise him from the dead, but they saw him after he rose from the dead, and how they had the understanding of the scriptures. He says, I want you to go tell this story about what happened to you, and I want you to go tell it to the world. And that's the idea here. That's what we're trying to get to tonight, is to get this thought in our mind is, number one, and I got a powerful story to tell. If you're here tonight and you're saved and you're on your way to heaven, there was something that you were before salvation, there was something that led up to your salvation, there's something that you become after salvation. And that is a powerful story for you to tell to the world. Verse number 49, we'll stop with this verse. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And that's another great promise. That's one of the hopes that we have. We've been talking on Sunday morning. We've been talking about hope. We have the hope of the Holy Spirit of God. And he can empower us to go out and do the work that God's called us. And I know that some people, first time we come in their mind, we talk about us going and mentioning what happened to us the day we were saved and how we got to that point where we had that understanding what happened to us after we got saved. Some people just shut their minds and say, there's no way in the world I can do that. And I agree, in your own power and your own strength, you cannot do that in a successful way to be able to bring someone to Jesus Christ. But if you work together with the Holy Spirit of God and you let the Holy Spirit of God empower you, no matter how maybe rusty your salvation testimony may be, no matter how non-glamorous you might think your testimony may be, doesn't matter. The Spirit of God can use your testimony as you use the Word of God to help people see their need for Jesus Christ. Tonight, I want us to look at this a little bit and say, each Christian has a powerful story to tell. If you're here today on your way to heaven, you have a story to tell. You have a message to give. It is a personal message, a message that no one else can give. Tonight, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we'll get right into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunity to come to your house. Lord, I pray that you do something in many of our hearts that just isn't there. Lord, that you give us a great desire to want to tell others about our testimony, our salvation experience. Lord, that we make others desirable to want to know you through our lives and through our testimony. Lord, not just through a lifestyle evangelism where people watch and see that there's a difference in their life, but Lord, that we be witnesses to the world around us. Lord, you said in your word, ye are witnesses of these things. And Lord, we are witnesses of what you've done in our lives. Lord, help us to speak. Lord, help us not to remain silent. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, last Sunday, we spent Sunday school and Sunday morning on Hosea. And some of you were in the back and teaching, and kids weren't here. But I like to tell you a little bit about her testimony. And maybe from that, you can understand a little bit how that could be an encouragement to somebody else. Now, I believe in the Bible. I believe in everything the Bible says. So I don't want you to think I'm trying to write things in the Bible. You go back and you read through Hosea and you look at it and say, well, I didn't see all those little things. So sometimes you fill in the gap as you're telling the story. Now, did it happen exactly this way? Not sure exactly how it happened, but it kind of gives a story there. And I'm not trying to go away from the Bible, but I'll tell you the way I think the story of Hosea went according to what the scripture we have. Now, remember, this is a few thousand years ago, and I remember when I was in Bible college, the first time I heard this story, I'd read Hosea a number of times. I was sitting at Pensacola Christian College. Pastor Jim Shetler was there. That's where I met my wife, so I'm thankful I went to Pensacola because I met her. It's a nice place, and I was sitting there, and Pastor Jim Shetler was teaching on about choosing who you love. Some people think love is all about romance and all about this and all about that. But you choose who you want to love. You choose who you want to make. Even when times are hard, even when times are tough. In relationships, young people, sometimes things are not going to always be easy. Sometimes you just choose to love that person, even though sometimes they're unlovable. And it's a wonderful story when you think about Hosea and what happened with Gomer. And so we go back there, and he painted this picture. He painted the picture that that you imagine that you had this family that was out there having a picnic on a hillside in Jerusalem. And he started, Pastor Shetler was a wonderful storyteller. He had a lot of gifts and talents for that. He could hold your imagination probably a lot better than I could, but we'll try and see. And I don't even remember that much, but I remember a little bit of his story there. And he says, picture this. And you picture that this family's there, and they're there, and they're probably teenagers, the kids are now, but they're out there playing, they're enjoying one another, and a stranger walks up. A stranger walks up, and dad goes over, which is Hosea, and says something to him. And they meet, and he says, you got such a beautiful family. It seems like they love each other, and they enjoy each other so much. Hosea, you know, as any most dads would, they get, you know, very proud and says, well, thank you. Well, his wife, which we know is Gomer, hears him congratulating the family and all this. And she comes up and she says to him, he says, it wasn't always like this. It wasn't always this sweet, loving family. There was a day and a time where things were not this good. Do you mind if I tell you my story? And probably Hosea was probably trying to get her to be quiet, because Hosea probably doesn't want his own wife to be able to go through the story, because this was a hard time in her life. And he says, sure. And Gomer begins, I guess, to tell the story. He says, you know what? Before we were ever married, I was unfaithful to Hosea. And instead of putting me as a public display, he lovingly and kindly kept it private, and we got married because God told him to. And everything was great to begin with, but after a while, I became very, very covetous. I wanted things. And at the beginning, everything was okay. He did his best to provide for me, and we had our first child, and things got a little bit harder, a little bit tighter. And then, you know what? After that first child, I became unhappy in the home. And this woman would begin to tell her story that I began to become unfaithful and try to make money. Being unfaithful to my husband, and I went out and did things I knew I shouldn't have. But I still was at the home, and we had her second child, and we had her third child, and most of you know that she doesn't even know who those husbands are or who the fathers were. And after having the three kids, he tells this man, after having the three kids and all the responsibilities, it cramped my style, and I wasn't able to do the things that I wanted to do, and I wasn't able to get the things I wanted to get. So what I did was I just left them. I left my husband, I left my three children, and went out to do whatever I could and live life to its fullest. And as the story goes along, it talks about, she says, but my husband still loved me. Hosea loved me so much and cared for me so much, he went after me and he followed after me, even to the point he provided my own needs, my basic needs, while I was out living for myself and living with others and being unfaithful. He still provided for my own basic needs. Even he sent my own children to try to convince mom to come home, and I just didn't care. I only cared about myself. At one point in time, Gomer tells in the story, God told Hosea to let me alone, that I would have to hit rock bottom if I ever was going to come back and love Hosea the way that I should have loved him to begin with. And rock bottom I did hit. Gomer explains to the stranger, he says, got to the point where no one wanted me anymore. Got to the point that because I wanted things so bad, I sold myself, and I could not pay back the debt I had. And then these men who once treated me so well took me and put me on a slave market. The slave market is the worst thing that could ever happen to you. You're a slave, and whatever that person who buys you, you become their property. And I was so scared and so nervous. I had no idea what was going to happen to me. While I was at that slave market, all dignity stripped aside, just there like an animal, put up for a bid, I heard a voice. And the voice was a familiar voice. It was a voice of Hosea. Now, this made me nervous, because if Hosea, after all this time, was going to buy me back, what in the world is he going to expect from me? Is he going to put me to death? Is he going to shame me publicly? Is he going to make me his slave and spend the rest of my years in misery? It comes to the point where Hosea wins the bid. And if you remember, I think it was 15 pieces of silver and something of barley and a half of something of barley. And he won the bid. And he comes up and the whole crowd's quiet. They're there watching because they know Gomer. They know Hosea. Hosea, the prophet that's been preaching and who's been giving the word of God out. And she would say, my husband used his own illustration to teach the nation of Israel and nation of Judah about the unfaithfulness that they were doing to God and the spiritual adultery they were committing. He was so faithful, so long, he bought me back. Surely that crowd and I myself thought he was going to either put me to death or publicly shame me or do something and get back at me. And as the story goes along, Hosea reaches up to me. He smiles at her. Gomer looks at him. And remember what we talked about last week? Gomer said that he called her that word. It was Baali. She looks at him, hoping for mercy, and calls her Baali. And Baali means master. And Hosea says, no. He says, don't call me Baali. He says, call me Ishai, which means husband. And Hosea chapter 3:3, it says how Hosea told Gomer, he says, and I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me for many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. And that's what Hosea told Gomer. And Gomer, I can imagine Gomer telling this man, he says, he told me that I didn't have to call him master. I didn't deserve to be his wife. I didn't deserve even to be alive. I didn't deserve to be their mother anymore. He didn't call. And when he came to me and he says, look, I don't want you to look at me like a master. I want you to look at me like your husband. And when he said that you will not be another man's and I will not be another woman's, he says, the joy swelled up in me. At that moment in time, I really understood what love was. And today, I do not want to do anything to harm my husband. Today, I don't want to do anything to harm the God he serves. Because the God that demonstrated the love that he had for Israel the same way he taught Hosea to demonstrate that love to me is the God I want to serve myself. And today, you see this beautiful family that shouldn't even be here were it not for the love of Hosea and the love of God. And you just imagine that Gomer had such a powerful testimony to tell. Tell of how she saw the love of God through her husband as she experienced the love of God through her husband. She wanted to learn more about that love that her husband had for her because of the love he had for his God. And it made her want to know her more. Now, if you go back to Hosea, you'll say, Pastor, the Bible never tells us how the story ends. It doesn't say if Gomer was ever faithful. It doesn't say if Gomer ever and the family ever got together. That hillside story about them having the picnic, that's something that probably you just can't prove. No, I can't prove it, but you can't prove it the other way. And to be honest with you, in the story of Hosea, it talks about how someday Israel is back with God the way it's supposed to be. So I think as it's talking about that, I think God puts that story in the Bible, gives us that thought there that Gomer was faithful. Gomer loved her husband and was faithful after that point because of the love that he demonstrated to her. Now, what a powerful testimony. I don't know about you, but that kind of sends shivers down my back when someone can love me so much. And we talked about last week how we take the love that we're supposed to have for God, and we give it to other things and other people, we're committing the same type of spiritual adultery that Gomer was committing with Hosea, the nation of Israel was committing with towards God. And that's a whole different message, but I want you to understand this, that when God expects us to do something, expects us to be faithful, he wants us to give a testimony of the things we've heard, we should not be ashamed. I bet you Gomer was not ashamed of what Hosea did for her. I bet you Gomer was willing to shout it from the rooftops. When she finally got a clue and understood the love that they had, I bet you Hosea had to tell her to be quiet, that don't tell people that. They're going to think bad of you. She says, I don't care what they think of me. I want them to see what you did for me. I love what you did for me, and I'm thankful for that. And it brings us to this point in this understanding is, if God has saved us and loved us and we understand what he's done for us, we should be interested in telling the whole world. We should be interested in shouting it from the rooftops. We should not be ashamed to find someone who is lost, dying, and on their way to hell and say, can I just tell you what God's done for me? And that's the idea tonight. Every Christian has a powerful story to tell. Every Christian has power. And in your testimony, I want you to think about three different things. There's three different things I want you to think about. You can write these down if you like to. This is how you make your own testimony. First thing is my life before I received Christ as my Savior. There's three different things that involves everybody's spiritual testimony about how you got saved. First thing is my life before I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. What do you mean? What you were before you were unsaved. That you need to tell people that. You need to help people understand. You need to use the Bible in your testimony. You need to help people understand that, hey, I was living for myself. I was a sinner. Don't think bad of me than the fact that I was a sinner. We were all sinners. The Bible even tells us that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's what I was. I was a person who was lost. I was a person who was dying and was on my way to hell. Now, you know, you put yourself in there and said, this is who I was in my personal testimony. And I have it tonight. And I was going to share a little bit with you as I go along. And I'll probably share it with each point so you can understand how it works. And maybe at the end, bring it all together. I told people my personal testimony. I grew up in a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. I grew up in a place where they shared the gospel. I grew up in a place where they ran buses. I grew up in a place where they had Sunday school and they taught you verses. Not only was I went there, I was faithful. I was faithful. I went either my mom or the bus or our neighbors brought us to school. I wanted to go to church. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I was there. Not only was I faithful, I was active. I used to learn verses. I used to go out and visit team visitation. I used to sing the songs, used to be part of those Wednesday night clubs. I did all those things. And to everybody else around me, I looked like I was a pretty good kid. Of course, whenever they had to watch me, they realized I was rotten. But to everybody on the outside, that's a pretty good kid. I didn't come from the greatest of homes, didn't come from the greatest of circumstances. And they said, hey, there's a kid that's a pretty good kid. And you know what? And I started believing him. I started believing, hey, I'm a pretty good kid. And you know, I even had the privilege of going to a Christian school. I don't know whether it was at the Christian school or whether it was at the Sunday school or junior church or whatever it was, but I heard you had to be baptized. You're supposed to be baptized. And you know what? I got that in my mind. I got that in my heart. And you know what it said? I told my parents, I want to be baptized. You know what they had the audacity to tell me? They told me no. And I was like, why in the world would my parents tell me no? And you know, and I thought pretty highly of myself. My dad didn't go to church that much back then. And I used to think, and got me to the point where I was upset. Why in the world would my parents tell me I could not get baptized? I needed to get baptized. That's what everybody else was doing. I was supposed to get baptized. And then on a Saturday night at a revival service, I understood why I wasn't supposed to get baptized. You know, on that Saturday night, the preacher got up and he preached. And I don't remember what the message was, but I went back and looked. And I understood, and I looked back into church records when my decision recorded, even went and got the cassette tape from the night I got saved. Isn't that pretty cool? And talked about it was the second coming of Jesus Christ. Talking about Jesus Christ was going to come. But I remember that night. For the first time in my life that I remember, God revealed it to me that I was a sinner and that I was lost without God and that I needed to make a change in my life. I needed to repent of my sins. You say, Pastor, did you really think repent? You know what I knew I needed? Is I was living a certain way and I didn't want to live that way anymore. I had one view of myself and one view of God and I wanted to change that. I tell you, that night, my world was falling down around me. And when I heard the preaching, when the message came, when the invitation came, I went right out. I went right out and I went up front and this lady named Mrs. Brandenburg came up to me and wanted to deal with me. And I told her, you know, how you have the invitation workers? I says, I don't need you. I know what's wrong with me. I know what I need. And she luckily stayed there and still helped me through it and made sure that I had it settled. But I knew exactly what I need. I had heard it. God was impressing in my heart that I was a sinner. I was not saved. I was not on my way to heaven. And he convicted me of my sin. My heart was broken over my sin. And I cried out to God that night and asked Jesus Christ in my heart. Now, here I got ahead of herself a little bit because I like my testimony because it's mine. The first part is, you know, what I was before I was a Christian. What was I? I was a self-righteous kid. I really thought that I was it. I really thought I was good. because I went to church. I really thought it was good because I went to a Christian school. I really thought I had it all worked out, had it all settled out. I said the verses, even won some awards, even was this and that. In everybody's mind, that's a pretty good kid. And thought I needed to be baptized. But what the second thing is, what the second thing that I want you to think about as part of your testimony, how I came to know the Lord as my Savior. How I came to know the Lord as my Savior. The circumstances surrounding how you were saved. Now, I want you to get this, and I want you to understand this. Different people's circumstances are going to be different ways. We're not going to have all going to have the story of Gomer. Praise the Lord. If we all had the story of Gomer, we would all think that we had to go out and be unfaithful, that we had to all go think we had to go sell our bodies before we can ever understand the love of God. That's just not true. Don't ever be ashamed of your testimony. My testimony involves, you know what? I never smoked, I never drank, never did drugs, never had immoral relations before, and never did all. And you can put a long list there. And you know what that testimony tells young people today that are in their churches? You don't have to glorify sin. You don't have to go act like the world. You can be saved when you understand that you're lost without God. And yes, we're all sinners and we all do things that are wrong. And that's what we want our kids. We don't want to have to go through the things we went through. And that you should not be ashamed of those testimonies. But I know that night, the circumstances that brought me to salvation was the preaching of the Word of God. God showed me in my heart and spoke to my heart and clearly convicted me of my sin. I did not want to live like that anymore. And I went to God and said, God, I am putting my faith and trust in you as Savior. Praise the Lord. And I asked my mom a few years ago when we talked about something similar to this on Wednesday night. I said, Mom, can you tell me what you think? And I told her what I thought. And she said, Brian, probably at a younger age, she says, you went through some type of little routine and you probably said something and you had your faith and trust in that. He says, but you never really understood it. And it wasn't until that night that you really understood what you were doing. And you came and you repented. You were sorrowful for what you had done in the past, and you cried out to God. And then that night, I went and found my dad, who was at church that night, and my family says, told my mom and dad that I got saved. And you know what they told me? They says, you can get baptized. I got baptized that night. And they explained to me, says, the reason why you could not get baptized was because baptism comes after salvation. It's about wanting to be obedient. Baptism has nothing to do with your salvation. Baptism has to do with the point and understanding that it's an outward expression of an inward decision. And that was part of my, and if I put that in my testimony, the reason why is because lots of people trust in baptism. Lots of people trust in the works they can do. And what I'm doing in my testimony is I'm trying to show them, hey, look, I might have been an 8 or 9 year old kid, but I thought I was pretty good. I'd done all these things. Everybody else thought if that kid was supposed to go, if anybody was going to go to heaven, it'd be that kid because of how faithful he is and because of all the things he does and because of all the good works he does. If anybody was going to, and I came to a point that God broke me and said, that's not going to get you anywhere. You need me. I had never entered into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that night, I entered into that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That night, I got baptized. And the third thing that's part of your testimony, the third thing that's part of your testimony is your life since you've been saved. Your life since you've been saved. And you say, Pastor, what do you mean? Here's the key, is we can sell people. And you can sell people, and you're not trying to sell people. I want to say it in the wrong way. But you can say that you're all on your way to heaven. You don't have to go to hell when you die. Man, that is huge, isn't it? I mean, that is a great motivation. But that's not just it. That's not what you need to tell people. You need to understand and help people understand what you've been since Jesus Christ has come into your life. You need to be able to tell people about the change. He changed my want to. No longer do I want to live like that. No longer do I want to live like the world. No longer do I want to be like everybody else. He changed my want to. He made me a new creature. And I find hope in him. I find peace in him. I can go to him for forgiveness. He loves me. And I tell them about the difference that was made in my life. That's your testimony. What you were before when you were lost and you were going your own way. The Bible talks about how we're like sheep and we've all gone our own way. You tell them that in your testimony. He says, I was lost. I was going my own way. You do whatever your personal testimony is. It was mine. I was doing my own thing. And I had to come to the point where I realized I was a sinner. For me, it was a night of a revival service where a lot of people got saved, and it was a wonderful, powerful. But yours might have been when someone knocked on your door. Yours might have been in a Sunday school class. Yours might have been at a when you were having lunch with somebody and someone took the time to share with you the Bible. Yours might have been in the church parking lot. Yours, whatever your testimony is, this is mine. It was what I was before, and then the circumstances that led up to it. And in those circumstances, we got to learn and help us understand that you had to help people see that I was a sinner. I came to that knowledge. God convicted me of my sins. And you say, Pastor, that's not my testimony. Well, then you need to go and examine what the Bible says, what true salvation is. Because it is talks about there is conviction that is necessary when it comes to salvation. He's going to show us that we have a need and that we should be convicted of our sins and we should want to have a change of mind that will cause a change of action in the future. I mean, there should be a change in our lives. The Bible teaches those things. So I'm not trying to preach you, try to convince you you're unsaved, but I want you to make sure you understand your testimony should have a point where God spoke to your heart, showed you you had a need, and you cried out to God and said, God, I'm putting my faith and trust in you. I'm not putting my faith and trust in the things I was trusting before. I'm turning to you and you alone for salvation. And there is a conviction in our heart that we had a need. And when we had that need, and that's what we talk to people when we come to this idea of how do we get to the point where we knew we needed to be saved? It's because God was working in my heart. If someone just tried to get you to say some words after them and God wasn't speaking to your heart at all, there wasn't a change in your life. And that's when we don't want that. We want people to come to the point, and we're not trying to sell something, we're not trying to force somebody. We want people to come to a knowledge that they need Christ and that they want to know him and they want to cry out to him, they want to call to him. And that's what we want to make our testimony to be like. What I was before, the circumstances that led me to it, and then what I am afterwards. Now, use the word saved, but most people are not going to understand the word saved. You're going to explain it to them. You're going to have to explain what Jesus Christ did for you, that you were lost and you were headed and you're in the bondage of sin and you're headed to a horrible place called hell because of my sin. And he saved me from that. I love using the illustration that, you know, we're all on this pathway. We're all on a pathway that heads us right to a horrible place called hell. And in that horrible place called hell, there is only one thing that can take us off that pathway. There's only one thing that can save us from that horrible place. And that's Jesus Christ. He pulls us off that pathway when we put our faith and trust in. He puts us on a different pathway. He changes us. And that's what, when we give our testimony, it's a powerful story that only you know, that only you can tell, that only you can express to somebody else. This is what I was before I was saved. This is what I am, what led me to the point where I need to be saved. And this is what Christ means to me now that I'm a Christian. Or what I am now. That's the third best way I put it. This way it was written down is what Christ means to me now that I'm a Christian. Most often we point to the fact that we're now going to heaven after we die. And this is wonderful. But we need to make people understand that Christ has made a change in us. He's made a change in our life's purpose. He's made a change in our homes. He's made a change in our families. He's made a change in our friendship. We must tell the unsaved about the peace that Christ brings in our hearts each day. Of course, they need to know the lost. The lost need to know that Christ is willing to help you in your life. And Christ can do all these things for you. And how you handle disappointment and how you handle failure, how you handle all the things that are going on in this world. They need to know what Christ means to you today. He is your everything. That's what he is to you. That's what he should be to you. And that's what your testimony is. I cannot give you somebody else's testimony. I can talk about it. I can talk about Gomer, and I can fill in those little blanks where I think to make the story sound cool. But I can't give you that somebody else's testimony. I've heard some of yours. Praise the Lord for some of your testimonies. Some of them are fantastic. Some grew up in Christian homes, and they got saved at a young age and been serving the Lord ever since. And I praise the Lord for that. I mean, that is great. Some of them people have been gone off and done some sin and done things that are wrong and things that they're ashamed of today and what Christ saved them from. Praise the Lord for that, too. I encourage you, don't glorify in that sin, because some people will get to the point and think, well, I don't sin bad enough. I'm okay to be able to go to heaven on my own. No, nobody is okay. So tonight, I want you to understand, what is your testimony? What were you before you got saved? What led you to the point where you knew that you needed to be saved? And what Christ means to you today? We are thankful for the absolute assurance of our heaven, that heaven is our eternal home. But if we can convey to people how the Christian life helps us here and now while we're on our way to heaven, that's going to make people want the desire to know Christ and help you to encourage people to come in. Help you to encourage people to come to the family. Here's the problem. Some of us are so far away from God, He doesn't mean that much to us. Even though we have a testimony to tell about what we were beforehand and how we got saved, but we can't tell people what Christ means to us today because He doesn't mean what He should, because we don't live for Him like He should. Tonight, what is your testimony? And go back to that question is, what was the last time you gave? When was the last time you gave someone your testimony? Now, I'm not just talking about to unsaved people. When's the last time you shared it with a Christian friend? When's the last time you shared it with your kids? How many parents have told their children how they were saved? My sons have heard it, but I got to be honest with you. You know what, how they've heard it most times is from me preaching it up front. This is a powerful tool you have. I encourage you to go and write it out. Learn it. Use it. It's a tool you have to bring people to Jesus Christ. Ye are witnesses of these things. Now you say, Pastor, you didn't give us any challenges this week. Each week we've been giving you a challenge. Last week you were supposed to give out 5 cards that you didn't know. The week before that you were supposed to send out invitations to people you know. The week before that you were supposed to be making commitment to pray each day. You know what your challenge this week is? It's a lot harder than just writing out cards or things. Your challenge this week is share your testimony with someone. That means some of you are going to have to go home and think about it and write it out. Share your testimony with somebody. Now, to be honest with you, the point is for you to share it with someone who is lost, so that they will want to become saved. But I got to be honest with you, I don't think some of you guys are to that point that you're ready to be faithful to God's call, which is be witnesses. So I'm going to give you the little bit of room there. If you haven't done it for a while, tell someone that you know. Tell somebody in your Christian family. Tell someone in your own family. Tell a Christian brother or sister in Christ in your church family. And that will give you the confidence to practice on someone else, so that way the Lord can motivate your heart. Because I don't want you to do it for me. I want you to do it for God. I want you to be right with God because that's what you're supposed to do. And I want you to go and take that and share it with somebody. Like I said, you're going to have to write it out. If you haven't written it out before, go to your husband or wife. You say, well, I'd be embarrassed to tell my husband or wife. Shame on you. Shame. You should not have enough in your family to be able to look to each other and talk about when you got saved. Their home is supposed to be a spiritual place where you can talk about spiritual things. It is okay. But if you can't, find another lady and say, you know, Pastor asked us to do this. If you're a lady, find another lady. Say, Pastor asked us to do this. Can I tell you my testimony? And then ask them if they want to tell you theirs. So that way you can build up this confidence. But the real challenge is tell somebody that doesn't know, that's never heard it before. And like I said, don't shy away and say, I can never do that. Well, to take the baby step, take the little step, because we all had to go places. I had to write this out for myself. I had to say this to somebody that I felt comfortable first. But remember, what does the Bible say in those verses we talked about? In verse number 49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. The Holy Spirit of God, if you're a Christian, He lives in you, and He can make you able. He says, follow me, and I will make you. He can make you fishers of men. He can make you if you allow Him to. And here's some of the steps. You have a powerful story to tell. It is yours. No one can take it from you. No one can change it. It is yours, and it's personal. Tell somebody. If you live with someone who does not come to church, say, the pastor gave us a challenge. Can I please tell you my testimony? Maybe that can help them. And after you talk to people, you know, if the Lord gives you the encouragement to do this, ask them, has that ever happened to you? Or would you like to know more about how you can be saved? And then from that. Now, in your Bibles, in the book of Acts chapter number 26, and we're not going to read it all. Intentions was read it all tonight, but I'm going to guess that you go home and read it. I guess I'm going to hit a couple of highlights here. In Acts chapter 26, you have the story of the Apostle Paul. You say, Pastor, you gave this testimony about Gomer which has that really, really awesome story. And then you go in Acts chapter 26 and you give the testimony of the Apostle Paul, which he gets to see a light from heaven. He gets to do all, you know, it says, my testimonies aren't like that. You have a powerful testimony. You have a powerful message to give because it's yours. And you're not looking on how eloquently you can say it. You're not looking at how much laughter you can bring. You're not looking at how much you can captivate their attention. You're looking at the Holy Spirit of God's help. So be honest and let God, let people know what God's done to you. And it can do so much more than you can ever imagine. In Acts chapter 26, you have the story of Paul giving his testimony before Agrippa. And he begins, and what does he start off doing? He begins telling what he was before he got saved. Look in verse number 5, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of the religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. You continue to go on down there, and it says in verse number 9, he says, I verily thought that with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. What is he doing? He is telling what he was before he got saved. And you go down and you go all the way down to verse number 12. Wherefore, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, he was going to Damascus to be able to put Christians to death and bring them to jail. And verse number 13 leads to the experience, the things that brought him to salvation. At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and journey with them. And most of us know that story. And now you go down verse number 18. It says, to open their eyes and to turn them from dark. Actually, start in verse 17. He talks about what God's plan was for him after he was saved, what Christ means to him. It says in verse 17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. This was God's plan, what Christ means to me. He was sending them forth to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. And that's what God, Christ did for him. That was what God, he puts in there. This is what God's calling him to do. And you can even tell others when you give a testimony, saying, this is what God's called me to do, to give my testimony, to turn you from darkness to light, because that's what he did for me. From the power of Satan unto God. He's telling what Christ means to them, that they may receive forgiveness of sin, because that's what happened to him. An inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith, what by faith that is in me. In verse number 19, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Now, you drop down here, verse number 27. He draws net, and the idea, he asks him whether or not he wants to be a Christian. Verse 27, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Verse 28, then Agrippa said unto Paul, O most thou persuaded me to be a Christian. Now, Agrippa does not become a Christian. He says, O most thou persuaded me. You almost did it. Was that a failure? It is never a failure to do what God's asked us to do. We leave the results up to God. You can tell your testimony 1,000 times, and if you never see anybody get saved, you know what? If you've been obedient to God, you've done your work. You've done your part. Amen. That's what we need to do, is to do our work and do our part. Christians, tonight, you have such a powerful, powerful story to tell. Learn it. Practice it. Tell your family. Encourage others with it. You can go out and you can quote verses, and you need to put verses in it because it's the word of God. You know, faith cometh by hearing. And it is the word of God that needs to be told in it. But you teach, you tell your own personal story with passion and with the power of the Holy Spirit. And you'll see people affected. Now, we went through all that. Here's the question. I told you my testimony a little bit, and I know I broke it up some, and if you want to hear it all one time, lump thing, I'll tell you that anytime you want to hear it because I love telling my testimony. Do you have a testimony to give? Do you truly have a testimony to give? Pastor, we're all here. It's Sunday night. Of course everybody here is saved. No, it doesn't work that way. I sat in church till I was 8 or 9 on Sunday nights, lost and on my way to hell. Many of us had that testimony. Many in their ages of 20s, 30s have been in church all their lives. Do you have a testimony to give? Have you ever asked Jesus Christ in your heart as your Savior? Have you ever saw yourself as a sinner in need of a Savior and asked God to save you? Let me encourage you tonight, get that settled. During the invitation time, I'd love to have somebody take the Bible and talk to you. If you want to wait till after church and you want to talk to me, don't use that as an excuse, but you want to talk to me, I'd be more than glad to sit and talk with you however long it needs to help you understand that. Secondly, When's the last time you gave your testimony out? I think most of us, when we answer that question, would hang our heads when we say, I don't even remember. We got something powerful to use. Let's use it. How many of our friends that we've known for years, we've never told them about the greatest day of our life? And we tell them what happened last week, tell them when we went on vacation, tell them about how good God's been to us on little details. But the people we work with, our neighbors, even family members that don't go to church. Can I tell you about the greatest thing that has ever happened to me? You have a powerful story to tell. And I know we didn't take a passage of Scripture tonight and break it apart like we might often do. But I think the message and the thought is there and it's powerful. Do you tell others about the greatest day of your life? God wants you to. Hosea, Gomer probably told that story so many times that Hosea probably got embarrassed by it. Jesus wants us to tell the story of what his amazing love was towards us. All that are willing to listen, are you willing to tell somebody? Let's go ahead and pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's raise to our feet.